Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm very excited for tonight's show. I'm welcoming back my good friend and fellow podcaster, Jordan Harbinger, the charming mind behind the Art of Charm podcast. We're giving you tips and help on how to help you up your dating, relationship, and sex game. But first, okay, I have to tell you about the most ingenious product I've seen in a really long time. You might have seen these guys on the TV show Shark Tank a few weeks ago. You know, the Shark Tank where people go, entrepreneurs, they try to get money. These guys got a huge investment. And this is the first time a product like this has ever been available anywhere. And it's pretty amazing and you can experience it. Hey, Anderson, what do you think? I gave you one.
Well, what is it?
Okay, so a Spark Swipe. It's a reusable dry swipe that you slide on your fingers. So it's like a finger puppet.
It's like a little vest for your fingers.
It's a vest for your fingers. And it's kind of like a dryer sheet or something, you know, like a fabric softener.
It smells like, yeah, it smells fresh, like fresh, tumbled fresh.
It's for men and for women. And you slide on your fingers, you brush on your clothes, your hair, instantly smell better. And they have pheromones in them. So, you know, hygiene.
What is that? The pheromones part. What does that mean?
Pheromones means that you're going to be sexually that the opposite, the members of the opposite sex.
Are your interns going to start coming after me in here?
I think so. They are. They always want to anyway. So it's just an excuse. They're going to say, oh my God, you smell so good. So the thing is, the reason why they invented these is because, you know, like at the beginning of the night, you go out and you're like, oh, I'm going to smell good. I'm going to put some cologne on, some perfume. And then you sweat. And at the end of the night, when it matters, because you might be hooking up, you know, 2 a.m. rolls around and you don't smell so good anymore. Use these 10 times. And you can use it 10 different times.
You can use it up to 10 times before you chuck it. I got it.
And you just like wipe it and your entire hair. But I have to tell you what happened to me today. So I got these. I checked them out. I was like, okay, yeah, you know, I'll use them. So today I am cooking, which I never do.
You don't cook.
No.
This is a lie. This story is not true.
No, it's totally true. I mean, okay, right. I don't cook. I was defrosting a mahi-mahi burger in my house. And that's my extent of
it. It's an ugly fish.
But it was like...
It's a stinky fish.
It is a stinky fish. So I stepped...
Oh, away, I see where this is going.
I stepped away from the stove for a second. And the next thing I knew, my entire house is smoking. And the, now, yeah, I know I told a story a few
weeks
ago.
Wait, this is very familiar.
I know. And this... I forgot that this happened because I was telling them the story. I was telling my assistants today. I'm like, I freaking burned my house down. I forget that I'd put something on the grill, on the stove, and I walked away, and the entire thing, because I'm actually not, I had it up too high, whatever.
You're like an old woman with dementia.
I am like an old woman with dementia. So it's friggin' fish, and my whole house, the alarm's going off, and it is smelling, and my hair, like everything's all like fish, and I'm opening the doors, and like my landlord's like, what's going on? Because he was walking by, my friggin' landlord, who always checks out my sex toys. And so I'm like, I'm so sorry, I'm cooking fish. So I smell like fish, I'm heading out to a very important meeting, and everything smells like fish. So I think to myself, I'm going to friggin' grab a swipe, and
spark.
I swiped a spark swipe, and I swiped, and I used it on my hair, my body, everything. Smelled so much better. It's genius.
I'm happy for you.
Do you feel like
these
you
smell great?
Really right
and
now?
You know what's also fantastic is it's not liquid, so it's not going to spill in your purse.
No.
And here's a whole group of people you're not even thinking about. I doubt they brought it up on Shark Tank, But for the stoners out there,
oh,
especially stoners with jobs where they're not allowed to smell all reefery.
That's the thing.
These things, instead of, you know, spraying a bunch of like Axe all over yourself so you smell even worse,
yeah,
these things are the ticket.
See, these have the best ingredients too. They're like high grade pheromones and ingredients, and it's like, you know, pheromones, primal instincts and all that. So here's the deal. You guys should check these out because they've just become available. Go to sparkswipes.com/Emily. Use code Emily20 and you get 20% off your purchase. That's sparkswipes.com/Emily. And they work because today I did not smell bad when I went to a meeting.
Let's talk sex.
Okay, let's do it.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Do that right now. Check out my website. It's awesome. If I do say so myself, sign up for my mailing list. Check out my blogs, my videos. There's a lot of cool stuff happening at Sex with Emily. And I'm beyond excited to be here with Anderson. I feel like I've missed you over the break. It's been like
months.
Like
a genuine miss. It's not
no,
like
no,
one
genuinely.
Of those where people work together. Like, hey, how are you?
No, like
how
I
are
like
the holidays?
You.
Good yeah. to see you again. Yeah, I
like
felt
a hug, like excited.
Yeah, you almost kissed me right in the mouth.
I know. Is that what that
you came in.
You?
You're coming in for the mouth.
I know. I do that
I might have gone for it, but I got a beard and a wife.
Dude, whatever. Everyone has a wife or something.
I'm afraid to scratch you with my beard, though.
Oh, the beard part? How did your wife feel about the beard?
I'm not saying my wife is a beard. No, I'm
a
straight man.
You said you have a beard, too. And I'm like, do we need to talk about something? Because sometimes you reveal some things in here.
Wife is good.
Wife is good.
We both got the flu over the holiday. That's always fantastic.
Everybody's sick.
The flu is just such a sick. I haven't had the flu in years. And it's just so gross.
It is gross.
Projectile, like exorcist style.
For real? Like, yeah. Kind of sick? Are you better now? Everyone's
I'm
sick.
All better now, yeah.
Is it, do you think it's because you weren't flying, but like I feel like people were flying, got sick in the airplane.
Yeah, people and like all the kids are out of school and all the little germs that they have in class. They're all rubbing
all.
Up against the adults. Yeah.
Ew, I hate that. I'm sorry. I didn't get sick yet. But I'm excited to be back here first of the year. It's going to be – I have so many – this is the year.
This is it, huh?
This is the year that stuff is going to happen. Things are changing. They're already changing. In fact – not only did I think it that it's changing because I actually took some time off for the first time ever.
You look refreshed. You look good. I asked if you were pregnant because you're glowing. I did ask that.
That I am not pregnant, but you'll be the first to know, or the baby daddy. But actually, there isn't one be one. It would be the Immaculate Conception. So not that I haven't had sex, but I've had protected sex. Anyway.
Good for you.
I'm not pregnant.
Good for you.
And I am really excited because I feel that this year the show – it's been great. We've had a good time.
Are you a resolution person?
No, not
good
really.
For you.
Resolutions are a bummer because people make these the wrong way. They're like, oh, I'm going to lose
so
weight.
They're just so trendy. And like everyone's in my gym. I can't even get into my gym for the first 3 weeks. It's annoying.
It. You just got to wait till they die off. You know why
they
die
do,
off?
Yeah.
Because people are like, I'm going to get in shape. But you can't make a blanket resolution. You have to have steps and measurable goals. Like, I'd like to lose 10 pounds. How are you going to do that? Well, 3 times a week, I'm going to go to the gym. You need a plan for resolutions.
That's right.
You need to stick with it. And so I think, like, overall, I've just been thinking a lot about the show and how I just want to take it to the next level. I've been doing it a long time, and I've got some exciting things happening for everyone in 2015. And I also have a survey that I just posted on my site, or it will be up tomorrow. And when you listen to the show, and I just want you guys to answer it. It's like 2 minutes it'll take you. And just some questions about the show, what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear.
Yeah, and you know what?
I already know that. Like, I kind of know some things. I know a lot about what I want to do, but I want to hear. I never talk to my people about that.
And let me say that we did the same thing on the Film Vault a couple years ago. And like, the show is free. Sex with Emily is free. I'm sure you guys are listening because you enjoy it. It is a huge help. I remember Brian and I, my co-host on the Film Vault, we were hugely flattered. And we knew what direction to take the show in. So.
Right.
It's a big help to Emily, so you should really do that.
It would be a big help, and it will. I'll be tweeting it out. It'll be on Facebook, my Facebook page, which is all Sex with Emily across the board, and it'll take you 2 minutes, and you know you're already on Facebook surfing the web anyway because everyone's on Facebook all day long. So one more thing. This is my big weekend coming up.
She?
Next weekend. She. You. She. Are you coming?
She.
It's the Sexual Health Expo, sexualhealthexpo.com. I've been talking about this for months now. I can't believe it's already here, but it is blowing up. It's the first of its kind. It is like, you know, no one really had any good sex ed in high school.
What? Oh, no good
and,
sex
and
ed.
Most people need sex ed education now.
I did after school.
What? You did
I got some good
sex ed?
Sex ed.
I bet you did. Yeah. But this is like top speakers, people I've learned from teaching workshops. There's going to be parties. It's in Hollywood. And I'm giving the keynote speech on Sunday. There's going to be sex toys, giveaways, fun stuff.
Any celebrities there?
Me.
They should have Andy Dick sucking carrots
at
that thing.
That'd
totally be fun.
They should. Do you want me to get on that? January 17th and 18th in Los Angeles. So it's going to be fun. And I'd love to meet you all because, you know, I don't know. We don't always get to hang out. So I'd love to see you there. And what else? That's all I got for you. So I have some sex in the news, but I'm going to welcome my guest here because I just want him to hang out and
thanks. You mean I can?
Yourself.
Can I talk now?
Is yeah. That,
oh,
well,
awesome.
Yeah. Jordan
it's
Harbinger.
So hard for me to not to.
I know. I know. He's a okay. So Jordan Harbinger, he hosts very successful podcast, The Art of Charm, and we met how many years ago?
Oh God, I
when
don't
we
know.
We both started like
a long time ago.
We both
yeah.
started.
I remember writing you an email, and it took you like 3 to 4 months to respond, which now makes total sense.
Why?
Just because well, I because
you
don't
me.
Want me to go into this right now, but
you can go into it because I sometimes don't get back to you. I get back to you now.
You do
you get angry.
Actually, but now I text you because I'm like
so
I'm not
going
to email you.
But I didn't know you.
That's right.
Then.
You're like who's this schmo?
But we were both on SiriusXM on the
yeah.
same channel.
Oh, that's
and then,
right.
Yeah, and then you called into my show and I called in your show.
That's right. I forgot
thing.
All about that. Actually, it
See?
Seems like a million years ago.
It was a million years ago, and now we met, and now we're friends, and you've been on the show before, and you are a charm. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so
in
essentially,
your own words.
In my own words, as opposed to the script, like your Spark clothing swipe thing.
Dude, that was not, these are awesome. Do you want one?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I want him to have one because he was on a 13-hour
Your hot model
flight.
Friend that you brought?
Yeah.
Can we just get
my
him?
My totally platonic, for the record, friend.
Okay, he's straight. Jordan has a cute girlfriend. And I've given him lots of sex toys, but he brought this really cute, sweet, nice friend who's a model.
And you didn't
out.
Even say thank you, Emily.
I'm
you
saying thank you
say
right
thank
now.
You. All right.
Julian, he's a model. He's hot. But what about this? What do you think about these Spark swipes?
Yeah, it's funny because pheromones, I don't necessarily, I'm like, the jury's out on those
right.
things. But I love the idea of having like a, am I allowed to say that, Febreze glove?
Yeah. It's a Febreze glove because you spray
yeah.
it on you anyway.
Because the thing is, I'll go out and, you know, I'll work out during the day and then I'll shower and I'll go out later and I'm like, put on this, as every guy does, I'll put on a shirt that I wore like another day and I'm like, this is clean enough. And then suddenly I'm like, crap, I smell.
Right.
And then I'm screwed. So if I had one of these things in my pocket, I could be like, eh, I can sort of undo that a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly, and yeah. your hair, so you can take it with you. It's my present
yeah.
to you.
All right, thanks. It's going in the pocket
Dude,
right now.
Do it. That and condoms. That's what guys should carry when they
yeah.
leave the house.
I don't need those.
Because you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
So you just come right inside her and she's on the pill? Okay, so tell me about you. So Art of Charm.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. Jenny. I've never met Jenny, but I yeah. know that I have provided you guys with a lot of fun
That's
toys
right,
when
yeah.
you went away to Vegas.
That's right, yeah.
Which you owed me some reviews.
I know.
I gave you some good stuff.
Oh, God,
stuff.
I know.
And I'm not going to make you feel bad right now, although I want to, but I gave you some good stuff.
It's good stuff.
We went through my entire garage, which all my listeners hear me talk about it. They're like, can I come to your garage? Not everybody gets to go to the garage.
I was in the garage. You guys
talk
are.
Talk about the garage.
I took
it's
all
true.
The good stuff from the garage, so there's no point in bugging her to go in there now. But it's funny because there's like dick pumps in there, and I'm like, okay, how many of these do you need? You know, because there's huge ones also, and then little ones. And I'm thinking, is there a medium in this thing? Because this is ridiculous. And then you have like condoms that expired, you know, before I could drive and stuff. And there's tons of stuff in there, but it's really cool. And I will get you the reviews, but I need
I
to
care.
Know what to record. Yeah, you say that now, but you,
no,
you
but
kind
I gave
of,
you like a spreader bar.
That thing is.
Dude, you're like, do you have a spreader bar? I'm like, I do have a
I was like,
bar.
She doesn't have one. My friend, who's a professional gigolo, was like, ask her for this. And I'm like, that's not going to be a thing. And I texted you, and I got a response in like 12 seconds.
I'm like, spreader bar? Yeah, they're
yeah.
sports sheets. It was
got
made
a
by
whole,
sports sheets.
Right.
Which if, a spreader bar, if you don't know, which I've actually yeah. never used one, is a woman, when you're having sex, or a guy could do it too, mm-hmm. it spreads her legs apart.
Yeah, and
it
holds
goes around her
them
ankles,
there.
And it holds them there.
Right, it holds them there, and there's like ankle, not shackles,
Breasts,
but
like
leather
like,
straps.
Yeah.
So it's think pull-up
like,
bar.
It's a piece
bar.
Of wood, right.
Think pull-up bar that goes between your legs and then is leather straps on
ankles.
Each side. And then it's just like you can't – it's like a bondage thing probably.
Yeah. It was
surprisingly.
Hot, right? Apparently. I don't know if it was hot or not. Maybe she fell asleep.
Yeah, she fell asleep, and then she's like, why can't I roll over in bed?
Exactly.
And I'm like, this is great. I have the whole side of my bed to myself, and she can't move. This is the best sex toy ever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're welcome. Okay, yeah. Wait. So Art of Charm podcast. So we met years ago, but tell me, what's the gist
of
it?
So the show teaches, well, now it's sort of like men and women, but we teach confidence, networking skills, social skills, dating skills, essentially like charm, charisma, personal magnetism. So anything that has to do with that, anything that we can stuff into that category is on the show. So anything from here's how you get ahead at work to, hey, if you want more girls to like you or you want to be more attractive to the opposite sex, try these amazing things. So we do a lot of the Art of Charm homegrown content because we have our school in Los Angeles where guys fly in from all over the world to learn from us in person, residential like school. And then we have our sort of like podcast, which is, as you said, well-known in iTunes. And people, men and women from all over the world, are listening to that every single day. And it's awesome because that started in a basement, like yours probably did too.
Yeah, in the basement.
And now we're like on Twitter with your blue check mark, feeling pretty badass.
Right? Verified, verified account. That's
I
right.
Want
it's
that.
Art, what is it? Art of Charm? On.
It's at the Art of Charm, yeah.
Okay.
There's
so
a B in there.
So when you started out your podcast, it was more, I'm not going to say pickup because you're so not that.
Right.
I'm sorry you hate that I said that because there are the pickup artists, but you're more like the holistic approach, helping guys just become better men.
Exactly, because when we first started, we were like, cool, this pickup thing seems cool. And then we were like, wait a minute, they're missing this big piece of the puzzle. And then that whole movement 8 years ago, which started off as kind of good intention, that thing just spun way off the frickin' rails and got just weird. And we were like, whoa, normal human beings don't interact like this. So we went in the other direction. We got a ton of crap for it from all these, like, pickup guys. But we just didn't care. And now those guys are, like, being banned from countries and, like, can't do business. And
right.
It's weird. And girls are like, yeah, we heard that yesterday. You're a loser. And our stuff is just normal.
Like, so, what? Give me an example.
So, for example, instead of being like, can I kiss you? And then just doing it anyway and getting an article and, like, freaking LA Times about how you shouldn't do that. Our stuff is like, hey, leave everyone better than you found them. Really? Okay, how do you do that? Well, first of all, be interested in other people. It's a lot of it is like Dale Carnegie skills, but made modern for the modern man/woman. Instead of like, don't typewrite all your letters, write them by hand. It's like, listen, okay, you might write handwritten letters, you might not though. And it's weird to do that with people you just met. So instead of texting them, call people to thank them. Like really modern skills so that you're charming, charismatic, people like you. How to make other people feel good being around you, because that's the key to getting people to want to be around you, want to help you with your business or your personal life. So we get into a lot of detail on that. And another common example would be something like, all right, I went to a networking event. How do I get people to help me with my business? And it's like, okay, forget about what they can do for you. Just try helping as many people as you can. And then suddenly after a couple of weeks, months of doing that, they find that people are coming back on them and being like, man, you really helped me meet a ton of people. What can I do for you? Oh, well, I don't know. I'm trying to get more publicity. Well, my sister's the editor of LA Weekly. Would that help? And you're
right.
Like, oh my God, how did that happen? And it's because you hooked that guy up with a graphic designer, not expecting anything in return, right?
Okay. So you go into it, you go into network. So you teach people because, you know, social anxiety is so crippling for so many people.
Right.
And, you know, men and women across the board, they're just like, I don't want to go to parties. I don't want to go to events. It's something, especially now with social media, people like never have to leave their house. And so they don't have to break through that social anxiety barrier. So you teach people like, don't go to these events with an agenda of what people can do for you. You're saying just go in there, talk to people.
Yeah.
Be yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
But what if you are anxious and you're like, I don't want to talk. Like,
right.
I love going into a room where I think I'm the only person. It's weird. I mean, I have other issues, but social anxiety I don't have. You're like, yeah.
Sure.
But I've always loved going to a room where I don't know anybody and talk. Because I truly, that's why I do the show. I've always loved essentially interviewing people.
Sure.
And asking them questions. And I get off on that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't, or they would, but they're so anxious about it. So how do you get them to break through
right,
that?
Right, that's the trick, right? Because it's not just like, be yourself. Because I can tell anybody, be yourself.
Totally.
And they're like, thanks for the advice, you jerk. My mom told me that when I was 8.
Right.
It hasn't worked. So for us, getting people to break through that is it's all about getting them positive feedback and positive reinforcement. And I'm not just saying like, good job, golf clap, like when they do it. It's like, okay, you have social anxiety. You're afraid of crowds. You feel anxious when you go to events like that. All right, let's try this. We know that the mind follows the body and the body follows the mind. This is science. I'm not making it up. It's not a yoga principle or something. I mean, it probably is, but it's now backed up by science.
It's more like meditation.
So we change people's posture. We change the way they look at others, their eye contact, the way they sit, stand, walk, and talk. That confident, charismatic body language starts to carry over in their attitude. We
you just made me
teach
sit
you,
up straight.
I know, right? We teach you how to build it as a habit. I really want to like raise this microphone up. We teach you how to build it as a habit. And I'll figure that out while you're talking because there'll be plenty of time when you're doing that.
dude, you talk as much as I do.
At least as much.
People always email me like, you cut off your guests. I do that sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm not
no, I get that
off.
Same feedback.
Do you? You do?
Yeah.
They're like, I love your show, but stop cutting off your guests. I'm like, they were boring
yes,
me. They're going to
exactly.
bore you. Right, dude? Yeah. I'm like, they were boring me and I lost it. So right. I did you a freaking favor.
Yeah. Okay. Like, sorry, 55-year-old guy who thinks I talk too much.
So you
Everybody
and I are
going
to cut each other off like we're doing now.
This should be interesting, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So we'll change the way that the posture interacts, right? And so once you start building positive body language, eye contact, vocal tonality, now if that's a matter of habit due to the habits we've brought you, like brought by you, right? Now when you're interacting with other people, you don't have to think, oh my God, how am I being perceived? You know how you're being perceived. You feel good. People start treating you differently, which is a key, right? Once they start doing that, you go, oh, all right, this isn't that bad. Because I'm being received warmly, and I'm not worried about micromanaging my first impressions in front of other people. This isn't so bad. I can do this. And then you start getting good at it. It's like the first time you talked on a microphone. You were like,
terrified.
Is this thing on? You're like whispering. It's too loud. You know, it's weird. Now you can't stop talking into the microphone.
Exactly. So tell me, starting with just body posture, or, you know, posture and the way you walk into a room,
mm-hmm.
how do you teach that? Like, what do you show them? You're like, stand up straight.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny because it's
for
like,
men
well,
and
my,
women.
My mom told me to stand up straight. I can, or sit up straight. I can do that. Well, the difference is, yes, you know all these things intellectually, but the difference between putting it into practice, especially when there's outside stressors,
right.
that's the name of the game. It's like that's why there's Navy SEALs that can shoot really well, and there's guys who go to a gun range, and they're like, I could hit that target myself. Yeah, we'll try it when there's like a bomb going off behind you and people are trying to kill you. Different situation. Talking with people in social situations, not hopefully that stressful, but for a lot of people it is. Like we've all heard that like, public speaking is the second greatest fear behind death, right?
I say that
or
all the time.
More it scary is. Or something. So, like, if that's the case, then there's a lot of stress going on when you're interacting with other people socially. So, what we do, for example, if you fly in and you work with us at one of our residential programs, what happens is we teach you how human interactions work, we give you some basics, and then we run you through these drills to drill those in, and then we bring in cute girls to interact with you and we videotape it. And then we break down your body language, eye contact, vocal tonality, and with coaches so you can see it. So you can't be like, oh, yeah, I was totally killing it. And we're like, nope, let's go to the videotape. And you're like,
terrifying,
blowing it.
But
it's awkward as hell. Everybody hates it until we're done. And they're like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Genius.
The growth is amazing. And we keep doing it. We don't just do it once. We do it over and over and over with like experts in body language, vocal coaches. We have therapists on staff.
What do you mean
vocal
coaches? You teach them how to talk slower, how to lower their...
Slower, whatever they need to do. Because a lot of guys talk slow enough. I'm not one of them, right?
Maybe
but a lot of guys talk slow enough. Sometimes they need to be louder. Sometimes they need to be less loud. But if they're talking too loud, it's like, well, why are you doing that? Oh, well, if you dig down deep enough, it's like, oh, I want people to see me because when I was young, I felt invisible.
It's
I have too many brothers.
Da, da, da.
There's always some sort of baggage in there. So we dig deep enough not to, like, stir up a whole pot of you-know-what and, like, screw them up, but for them to go, oh, okay, and we shine a light on it, and then they go, ah, yeah, I do that. Let me cut that out. And then we give them positive habits to change the way that they behave.
That's great. So like, it's all about reconditioning.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're
yes.
able to do that is pretty amazing because men and women do that. What do you teach women?
Women, actually, we have to outsource that to one-on-one coaching. It sounds bad. Outsource. I mean, the coach works
outsource
for the Art of Charm.
Right.
But the reason we do that is because women always have different goals for their communication than men. Guys, we can herd into smaller groups. And honestly, that's what we're best at. It's like training guys. We're not going to try and reinvent the wheel and train women. The other thing is, the format of the boot camp that we have is residential in nature. So if there's 8 guys in a house sleeping overnight, 60 hours of training, 6 straight days, they're in from other countries. You cannot throw girls into the mix.
No, they'd just be banging.
Because, well, or like they wouldn't want to open up and admit like or share things. And like we get pretty deep at program.
Like, no, it's not, I'm sure. It's like group therapy.
It kind of, but it's without the woo. It's not like my mom didn't hug me enough and then like everyone's crying. We don't do that. But it's like, hey, you know, this is where I feel insecure about stuff and I want to fix it. And then it's like, okay, now we can help you. But if you're all, I don't need this, bro. I'm rad. I'm badass with the chicks. It's like, well, cool. When you're done trying to BS everybody, like, we can help you.
Right.
But before that, then just go away. But honestly, a lot of the guys that are coming in now are, like, married and relationships. They want to improve communication with their significant other, or they're here strictly for business. They're like, listen, I run a company. I need to be able to sell myself better. I need to be able to sell my company better. And the best way to do that is to be magnetic and charismatic, because no one's going to be like, hey, will you buy my $13 million computer system?
Right.
No, we're
good. Were you always magnetic and charismatic?
Hell no. No way. No, not at all.
Okay.
I was really quiet when I was younger.
Younger till when? What age? What age were you like, I'm going to change this?
It's weird because I was a loud kid and I got in trouble for it nonstop. So it was kind of like beaten out of me, both metaphorically and possibly.
Oh, you were abused. Do you
want to
get into that?
Okay. No. I'm just kidding. My parents were awesome. My teachers were like, this kid's an a-hole. Because I was loud and disruptive. I mean, like I am now, only now I get paid for it. So suck it, Ms. Shumway. But you know, now or back then, you know, so I kind of calmed down and then massive social anxiety as a
around women.
Middle schooler. Oh, around just everyone. And I got way into computers. Surprise, surprise. And there's a lot of guys that kind of never got out of that phase. And now those are the guys that you see around like on TV or whatever. And they're like quiet and they're, you know, it's bad news. And they play games all day and they don't have a social life. That could have been me. So like, I have a lot of sympathy for those guys because I'm like, but for the grace of God go I, right? Is that the phrase?
I don't know, I'm Jewish.
Something like that, right? You're Jewish, so you don't have what? You don't have God? Get out of here.
No, not right now. But
so you slide.
I was a grace of God.
Not in your
we
house.
Don't use that.
Yeah.
We don't use that language.
So I could have gone that way, but instead, around high school and then again in college and then again in law school, I made concerted efforts to like not be that guy. And then in law school, I got a great internship for this law firm, and the guy who was supposed to be like my mentor was never there. And I was like, wait a minute. If we bill hours and that's how we make money as lawyers, why are you never in the office? And finally, I was like, screw this job. I don't care about it. I'm just going to ask. So I caught up with him and I asked him, and he was like, actually, I bring in all the business for the firm. That's why I'm never in the office. And I was like, wait a second. You get paid more than everybody else and you don't have to show up to work because you know how to talk to people and all these other people are just working like 24/7 billing hours.
Genius.
And like filing dumb documents. And he's like, pretty much. So I'm like, wait a second. People skills pay more than technical skills? And at the highest level, they pay way more? And that now when I talk about that on my show, these IT guys and stuff come out of the woodwork and they're like, yep, that's been the limiting factor in my career is I can never manage.
It's true.
I'm just really good at technical stuff.
You've got to manage. It's about, you know, creating relationships, building relationships with people. And that's always what I'm better at than the work part anyway. Like I've always been really good at like getting the raise or getting the higher position than anyone. And I've always been better at that, I think, than the actual work, but a lot of people aren't, and I totally understand that.
Right.
And so in that moment, was that a pivotal moment? Were you like, I'm not going to be a lawyer? Or were you like, I'm only going to go be a lawyer and be manager of the bring in business?
Well, I never really wanted to be a lawyer. So that kind of in the back of my mind, I was thinking, all right, now what I'll do is I'll master people skills even more, knowing that this can get me to the top of the law game, and it'll be way more fun, right? Because this guy did like jujitsu, golf, charity events, dinners, lunches. That was his whole job. And I thought, this
kicks butt. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Right.
And he probably did it all in the company dime. And then he made more than everybody else. He was in the office at like 1 o'clock in the morning grinding on some BS. And he was probably wasted with his wife and like some investment banker and his wife
sounds
like
awesome.
Chilling on a boat. Right. So I'm like, this is awesome. So I started to learn everything I could about psychology and applied psychology, pop psychology, all the BS. And of course, influence, persuasion.
Like
charisma,
all the Dale Carnegie
body
stuff
language,
did you read that?
I read everything. And I was in my research, that's when I found the dating stuff. So I didn't start off by being like, I need to get girls because no one can because I can't do it in .. PUA, right? Pickup artist. I started by being like networking and then, oh my God, this can get girls too, sign me up. So I didn't start with the weird stuff, which is now most guys are starting with the weird stuff. And that's why this
whole movement
is weird.
You mean they're starting with the pickup, not everyone knows about that, but when we first started the pickup artist community, the game came out around that time. And it was just all about guys getting the numbers and getting laid. But it wasn't
about getting laid and stuff.
It wasn't about becoming a better human, a better guy, a better person. So
we focus on like deserve what you want, not just like figure out how to trick people into giving you what you want.
Right. I like
and that's
that.
always going to go further because you can – if you were into this pickup stuff and you acted like you do with women – at work, you would instantaneously be fired and possibly prosecuted.
If you do the pickup artist stuff. But yeah. if you do the just getting along with people and being more personable
right.
and magnetic,
you
that's going to work across the board.
You get promoted and then
like
you get tons
of girls. I like
that
you're branching out into that in your show too, because it is true. It's like on this show, I get so many emails. People are like, how do I... Yeah, and it's hard because this is what I've been thinking for this year. I'm always like, well, communicate with your partner. Communication is lubrication, but how do you do it? It's so much easier to say it, but like teaching people the actual ways to communicate and the ways to project yourself is a whole different game.
It's different and it's super nuanced, right? So it's you give a ton of great advice on your show. The problem is if someone's like, yeah, I feel like I'm doing it all, but it's not working for me. You're sitting there going, dude, I can't see you. I can't hear you. I don't know what you're doing wrong. But I guarantee you if that person was in front of you, you'd be like, dude, what are you doing?
Right. And I can totally break it down.
You'd be shaking them like a, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's hard too because we'll be getting some emails in a little bit. People email me. It's like, I need more background. How can I? Because there's not like a one size fits all answer. But let's move on to some more dating stuff specifically because since we even started our shows, social media, dating apps, all this stuff has totally changed the dating game.
Yeah.
And it's all about now. So if you have social anxiety, you might never learn to squash that because you're just sitting behind your computer all day. But there is an art to it, and you did write a book on texting. So when we come back, I want to hear all about that, which I think that everyone needs to know a little bit how to communicate online. But now, a word from my sponsors, who I love, Good Vibrations. Oh, you're in San Francisco now.
I am.
Have you been to Good Vibrations? It's a sex toy store. There's one in the Mission. But they also have goodvibes.com. You have to go there with your girlfriend.
Dude. I feel like I've seen that.
No, it's all over
like
San
I go
Francisco.
To get a taco and I'm like, ah.
Oh, in the Mission. Yeah. It's amazing. So there's like 5 stores there and I love them. I bought my first toy there in San Francisco. They carry all the best sex toy brands. Like there's a lot of places online now where you can get sex toys, but a lot of them are like kind of schlocky. They might blow up your vagina. They're made out of bad materials.
Can that happen? Your vagina can explode?
Yeah, it could go on fire or something. Oh,
wow.
That's one of my sex in the news stories, actually. Sex toys blowing up. So they carry all the best brands. They have the Dahlia for extra G-spot stimulation. They have the most orgasmic vibrator of all time, the Magic Wand. And my new favorite, did I give you a penis ring when you came over?
I have so many, I don't even know where they came from now.
Okay,
I did not give
you the Mio by Jeju. It's my new favorite one. It's stretchy, rechargeable. It's amazing. They just have all the best brands. So if you go to my site, sexwithemily.com, click on the Good Vibes banner, you're going to go to my store. I've got a store. I picked all my favorite toys that I love and products and bondage and spreader bars. And you use coupon code GVEMILY20 and you get 20% off. So thank you for supporting them.
GV like good vibes?
Yeah, GVEMILY20. You're such a professional with getting me to do the ads right. Okay, so tell me about social media dating apps, how it's changed the dating game. And I want to hear about your tips for texting. So that kind of all works in because it's about if a guy writes you a boring message, you're like, next.
Sure. I mean, the online dating stuff it translates to texting so much. Like, we wrote this book called The Textbook a million years ago because texting was almost, I hate to say it, was like almost new. This thing is like 6 years old, right? So texting wasn't new, but people were like, wait a minute, you can just get tons of girls' numbers and start texting them and
never
filter and never actually interact with a human again. No, it's but it was a great way to filter things. And people were talking about it, but nobody was testing it. And we had 15 guys working at the Art of Charm, so we put up massive spreadsheets on the wall. And we were like, okay, guys, you guys each met like 20 girls this week or this month. Let's start sending them the exact same messages and see which ones work.
Oh, it sounds douchey.
But we would test it. But here's
the
thing.
But it was for science.
It was for science. But here's the thing. It doesn't really matter because it's not a disingenuous message like, you're so pretty, I love you.
Yeah, so give me the sense.
It's something like, we would test something like, hi, this, like really stoic. Like, hi, great to meet you the other night. We should go out sometime. Didn't work. Like, doesn't work as well. Very rarely. You know, all of this depends on your connection in person, of course. But let's assume you met the girl in like the subway and it took like 2 minutes. Then you try something else that's like ridiculously silly, like, hey, little penguin princess, let's go ice dancing. And you'd be friggin' shocked that would work a bunch more. But we were like, this is kind of silly. So we'd try everything in between. And yeah, it might sound douchey, but what we're doing is we're uncovering communication patterns.
Right. It is. What they responded to. So what did they respond to?
So,
what were the elements?
Well, it's hard to say because it does vary massively based on context. But the underlying principle is anything that doesn't have emotional communication is going to fail really hard. Surprise, surprise, right?
Right.
So what we do know is that communication is mostly emotional. The words don't matter as much. But what if it's texting and you only have the words? Now you have to lay those texts. You have to really drill in emotional words.
How do you layer in emotions
work.
Into text instead of saying, guy who doesn't even feel anything?
Instead, right, if you're just a stone-cold dude with no real feelings to speak of like a robot, what you have to do, instead of saying something like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? We should hang out. You might say something like, hey, what's shaking? What trouble are you getting up to this weekend? Those are emotionally linked words. They work much better in terms of getting a response.
Trouble, they're like, oh, he thinks I'm kind of a fun, crazy girl.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter, right? Like, that's how you perceive it. The way that I perceive it, it doesn't matter. Because since I can't communicate directly with you with emotion, because I'm not looking at you, you can't see me, you can't hear my voice, you can't get sarcasm, nothing.
There's a certain thrill to that.
There's a certain thrill in there. But it's all on your end, because the interaction then takes place in your head with texting.
Right, exactly.
So if it's fully logical, it's taking place in your logical brain. It's totally boring.
So guys should not. So what are the texts that guys? Because okay, for example, on Tinder, I've flirted with Tinder.
Yes.
I actually had a blind Tinder date on the show, which was quite fun.
Was he couldn't see anything, huh?
No, he couldn't see. You're it was lucky. Weird. It was weird. God, he thought it was really like cute for my voice.
He just assumed you were really hot.
Thank
God,
that's for everyone was blind. Just kidding. It's a terrible thing to say.
How dare you?
He was a blind Tinder. Never met him. Came in. Anderson actually met him before the show
to make sure he wasn't totally
crazy.
Sketch.
But the point is like now I go on it and I. You know, for fun, I haven't actually gone on any other dates, but
you just went on Tinder for 1 second.
No, just now I looked. I was like, oh. But when they're like, hey, hi.
Right.
Like your picture. I'm like, I don't get. And it's not because I'm like, oh, that's lame. It's like, I don't really have time and that just didn't interest me and I forgot.
Sure.
And I'm busy and I forget to check Tinder. But what would you suggest is like a great first message on something like that?
Well, here's another principle, right? It's all about the actual principles of what you send. It doesn't necessarily matter, right? So it depends on what sort of message you're trying to communicate. And the point of doing the Tinder message, right, is like you have something like, hey, hi, what are you doing? What's up? What are you up to? Or something like that. Like every guy sends the exact same thing.
How's the weekend? Beautiful weekend.
What are you
weather.
Up to?
Right.
Yeah. What's going on? That doesn't work. And the thing is, as guys, we're kind of like, gosh, you know, this Tinder thing doesn't work very well. But here's the problem. If you make and here's how you just prove this to yourself right now. Go get a burner phone or look at your sister's phone. Make an account as a girl. This is what I suggest you do. And just get some random freaking photos from the internet and make a little profile. And watch what guys send you. And it will always be the exact same freaking thing.
What is it? Okay, you should.
It's always
my
the
right
stuff
now.
You're talking about.
Okay, right. So
hey,
then
what's up? What's checking? So one of the ways.
This is for like good for Match Too or Plenty of Fish or whatever.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Okay.
Exactly. If you want to learn what's going to work in online dating and what's not, make a profile or two as a girl and just sit there and watch the crap come in because it's rubbish. Absolute
so what
crap.
Are the, right, you're right. So what would you recommend? Are they good? Give me an example. Because all you saw was their picture, and obviously you matched because you thought she was hot and she thought you were hot or attractive.
Yeah.
That's how Tinder works. But
a lot of it comes down to testing. So the same principles apply, right? Emotional communication. And a lot of times guys go, I do that. I wrote like a 3-paragraph message to this one girl. That's even worse because there's just too much investment going on
Don't
there.
Don't write 3 paragraphs ever.
Right. So the thing with Tinder is it can be a little different because it's largely based solely on appearance. But even a message like, hey, doesn't work really well at all. Mm-hmm. Like if you see somebody and they're a lot of what I use is based solely on humor. Surprise, surprise. So if someone's Asian, I might write something like,
oh no,
you look really French. How long have you been in the United States? And they'll be, if they're like, that's the dumbest thing ever, not going to be a good match for me. But if they're like, sorry, I don't really speak English that well, only French, you know, or whatever, like humorous
and
response,
funny, they go back,
funny
right.
or not. But
I
even if
I
don't think it's
Asian
funny, it'll be fine.
Good.
Yeah,
right.
you got to be careful with
like,
your like
don't
ethnic.
Don't offend them with the ethnic
No,
slurs.
Yeah, but that's another thing is like people will go over the line. But if you're not able to showcase your personality in the message, it's without getting into too much science, it signals emotional intelligence as not quite being as high as a lot of women.
But
would
things
desire.
Can be so misconstrued on text because you don't know, like it's your first message and you're kind of sarcastic. Because
yes.
I answered some guy back and I was really stuck, and he never got. I thought I was really funny.
Yeah,
like,
but you're assuming that's because of something you did, right?
But I'm funny. Oh, right. But it never is what we think.
Right.
I just did a show on this on rejection, talking about how we never. If someone doesn't get back to you, you just got to move on. Like you always in our minds think, oh, what'd he do? What'd I say? Whatever. And maybe they have a girlfriend. Maybe something else is happening.
Yeah, it's possible. Okay. I mean, it could be anything like that.
So you're texting. So there's,
right. So you're assuming the response that or didn't come because of you. And that's a great illustration of another point, right? Because communication is always received and filtered through your current emotional state. And I'll repeat that because it sounds like mumbo-jumbo psychology. Communication is always filtered during your through your current emotional state. So if I meet you at a cool party and I text you right after on the way home, and I'm like, hey, it was awesome meeting you. You seem super fun, just as much trouble as me. Let's hang out another time. You're like, that's great. This is so cool. If I text you the next day and you're like ironing and you're like your freaking cat barfed on your carpet and you're like, ah, this sucks. And I text you and I'm like, hey, what's up? You're like freaking nothing. Right. And you like throw your phone across the room and you don't answer me. So even though the communication itself is fine, the current emotional state that you were in was not receptive
when
to that.
When you received it, right.
So you if you can, call it back to the previous state if you can. Not like, hey, this is Jordan. I met you at that cool party last night. But something like, boom, hey, nickname that I gave you last night randomly. Or, hey, I'm still cleaning, you know, your wine off my shirt. Thought I would say hi. And you're like, oh, my God, that was so fun. Like, last night, that was a fun event.
Bring up something from the moment where you met.
If you can, and if there's a positive association with it or a silly or fun association with it. If not, you're just like, hey, what's up? You're like, nothing. Well, I'll tell you what's up. I'm cleaning cat puke off my friggin' couch, jerk.
Right.
Even though it's totally not.
So are there
fault.
Like things – what is like the number one mistake you think that people – even men, they would make with texting?
They always send the same message, first of all. And again, if you don't believe me, make an account. Oh, it's hey, hi, what's up? Or
– how's your
the
weekend?
What's going on? How's your weekend? What are you up to?
Like, you don't even know me. You're asking me, I'm going to reveal what I'm up to. We don't even know each other.
Yeah. Oh, right. I'm going to be at this place and then I'm going to go here and you should totally just show up uninvited.
Yeah, here's a drop pin. Follow me.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, exactly. Girls get the same thing. And you know this. I don't have to explain this to you. Women get the same thing over and over and over again. And you don't have, the other thing is a lot of guys will try to be like too creative with it. That's fine. I feel like if you're going to do that, go for it. It's way better than the alternative, but it's unnecessary. And the other thing that guys do that, they think they're being creative, but they're so not, is there'll be like one obvious joke they can make about your profile. And if they go for it, it's like, it was low hanging fruit, right?
Like the obvious joke would be because you're holding your dog and you're like,
yeah, or something like, or like, oh, that dog's so cute. Or like, oh, I love dogs too. Or that reminds me of my dog. And you're like, so what?
Right.
I don't care.
So what if people don't have this natural, like they read this in your book?
Yeah, I mean the book.
Skill to be
the book's friggin' free now. I think anyway. Okay. It's called The Textbook, and you can go to howtotextgirls.com. It's like the most immature thing we've ever created, but and I'll admit that outright. But here's the thing: the communication principles in it are totally solid.
Okay, that's good because I think that everyone needs an advocate. But I do think that there is something to just like meeting people in person, and you got to get out there still because this is crippling. I think
it is, and it brings
and it's crippling
me,
people, and they're not learning the skills because they're just sitting hiding behind their computer.
It is. And it brings me to the last possible, or I guess one of the last, if we like, points of the book, of the communication, as well as anything you do online, anything you do via text has to purely be to either keep interest over time, because if I can't see you for a week or something or 4 days, I want to keep the energy going, or logistics. Another massive, massive mistake that guys do in every form of online dating or Tinder or anything is they start to try to generate rapport and get connection with somebody through the crappiest medium ever, which is texting or email.
Okay.
And so what that means is instead of like bantering and being funny and then setting up a time to meet in person, which is where the real magic always happens, they do things like, so where did you grow up? And you're like, why am I having a conversation
like the first
with you
date.
Right
Go
now?
To my, yeah, you yeah. know you already stalked me on Facebook. You know
yeah,
I'm
like,
from Michigan.
Look at my freaking Wikipedia, bro, right. or whatever, right? That's what you're thinking. And
yeah, no, like, please don't Google me is what
and,
I
and
think.
They do that to every girl that they meet, and it's boring because there's no other emotional communication. There's no other communication. There's no body language, vocal tonality. There's no fun involved.
So we just want to be entertained.
Yeah, yeah.
We
want to
be,
ways.
Like, something stimulated in a way that's different than other
Yes.
other men or other women or whatever they're doing. But how do women drop the ball with that?
Online communication?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple ways in which women drop the ball. One is being exactly the same kind of crap communicator as a guy. But the real mistake, in my opinion, and women get away with it a lot, so they're going to point to the scoreboard and be like, oh, well, Jordan Harbinger, we don't really care. They get away with it and they go, so what? The guy has to do all the work. Well, here's the problem. Women are universally, and I throw that term around, and I realize it's never universal, complaining that the only guys that talk to them are the guys they don't want. Well, here's something to think about. What if the guys that you do want talk to you and then go, Jesus, you're boring, and then they step off, or why am I doing all the work? And you're going, because you're a guy and you're supposed to chase me. Well, guess what? If you're making us do all the work and you're not fun, why the hell would I invest in you emotionally?
Well, what do you think about women making the move and approaching these guys that they're interested in? What about women not making men do the work? Do you think that that works when women are approaching guys first?
I will say blanket no, but that's not going to contradict my last point. I'll tell you why. The reason is because
no,
women...
it's not what? Blanket.
Did I just confuse you?
No, you're saying that women should not approach men.
Yeah, I don't think that they should. And the reason is because, and a lot of people are going, how dare you?
I know,
right
2015.
Now. But you know what? Tough crap. This is biology.
Men want to hunt and kill and gather and drag you back to their cave. And if you take that away from them.
Yeah. Well,
is that what you're going to say?
If you maybe kind of. I mean, it's probably not that same thing. There's probably some different science there. But the fact of the matter is, if something lands in your lap, you don't value it as much.
You want to work for it.
You want to work for it. But here's the thing. You have to – the woman has to drive this because relying on guys to be good emotional communicators is a friggin' losing battle, okay? So if you're a female out there and you're listening, you have to you have to run away but leave a little trail of honey behind you
like
for us to follow.
Let them know that you're interested but you don't do
exactly. And also you have to kind of make it look like our idea. We're like, oh my god, what I'm doing is working. I'm so smooth. This chick's totally into me. Meanwhile, you're just kind of like stringing us along like a cat.
But then, I'm flirty with you, but I'm not saying like, "Hey, let's get together," and then I leave.
Right,
right.
No.
And then I like walk away. I'm busy.
Right.
Right,
and I'm all like, "Yeah, we should let's get together on Friday." And you're like, "I want something more committal than that." So I might be like, "What are you doing Saturday?" And you're like, "I don't know, no plans yet." And then I'm going instead of going, "Want to hang out," which is a massive turn off. I'm like, "Listen, let's go do this, this, and this."
You want to have a plan.
Yeah, have a plan. Offer something up, like, "Hey, let's go for a walk in Golden Gate Park. It's supposed to be really nice. And also, I haven't played Frisbee in a million years. I know it sounds weird, but are you into that?"
Right, it's something different.
Totally. It doesn't have to be super creative. I mean, Frisbee
or expensive.
Is $3 and it's
– Totally.
Go to Golden Gate Park and you can yell at each other and then you can go have coffee.
Can't believe you moved to San Francisco, by the way.
I know.
I moved here. He's my friend in LA and then he moved to San Francisco. Okay, what is your thought on disappearing daters? Typically, it's men. Disappear.
What does that mean? What do you mean by disappearing?
It means that guys there's this whole phenomenon that men – when they're in a relationship with whatever relationship they're dating, maybe it's a month, maybe it's a week, a few months, and then all of a sudden guys just disappear. Women don't hear from them. And it could be, and then women spend time analyzing it with their friends and they go on and they think, where'd he go? But this is like men do this kind of behavior.
I've done that in the past too. I feel
right,
like such
we all
a
have.
Dick.
Right, but it's
totally
just because
immature.
You're done and you don't want to have the confrontation, you don't want to tell them.
Right, like I remember.
And then women think it's all about them, and it's because I looked fat that another night, or it's because I spilled this what I've drank. It's never what you think.
No,
which goes
it's
back
not.
To our other point is that usually what we're worried about in our heads of why this person's analyzing us or didn't call us isn't what we think.
It's
we gotta move on.
It's never that, and it's fat. It's funny. I'll tell you after I gotta tell you off air who this person is. But we have a mutual friend. And I dated her for a while, and I was like, this girl's cool. We are, like, totally alike in so many ways. And then, like, kind of, like, went out a bunch of times, and she's like, why aren't you interested in me? And I was like, crap, you're right, because I haven't made, like, I didn't, like, make a move. And then I was like, oh, you know, made some shit up because I felt guilty. And I also felt, like, unmanly. Like, what? Oh, I'm supposed to be, like, after it all the time. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. And then I felt weird about it. And then I slowly realized I was not interested in her as a relationship. And
I just
totally wanted to be friends. And I just didn't want to be like, hey, so I just want to be friends. And then after I just stopped calling her every day. And I sort of like it slowed down. And then she would like call me and I kind of wouldn't call back right away. And she's like, one, and she's awesome. And you'll know exactly.
Oh my God, tell me who it is.
I will after.
Okay.
And then she was like, hey, it's so clear that you're not interested. Like, what the hell? And I'm like, dude, I'm stressed out. I feel so guilty about it. And she's like, why don't you just tell me? Like, you could totally just tell me.
Because women can tell.
And they can tell.
Anyone
and honestly,
can tell. Men can tell.
She was cool. And when I told her, I was like, I'm sorry. It's kind of immature. I should have done something. This is years ago, of course. But I'm like, this is years. I'm just sorry about this. Like, I feel stupid. It's immature. I should have just said anything. But then the girl I dated after her was a freaking nightmare. And the second I was like trying to handle it maturely, she exploded. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is largely why guys don't do this, because we've learned, one, we're kind of wusses about it, but on the other hand, we've been beaten up when we've actually gotten
Well, what
it right.
do you mean you handled it in the right way? You were like, listen, I just don't feel a love connection, but I think that we could be friends.
Yeah, like, I'm like, you're cool, but I'm just not feeling super connected to you, like,
right. And she was probably
physically. And she was like, fuck you,
God.
I'm hot, you're an idiot. And I'm like, I'm not saying you're unattractive. I'm just saying
For me,
I'm not feeling
you're
it.
You're not ringing
and
my bell.
I don't know why. It's not, you're not enough. You're just not the right. And she
She's still in
was
therapy,
freaking pissed. Yeah. And
but
I was like,
doesn't mean that men should not communicate that way. Not everyone can handle it, but you can say the same. Other people, you know, some guys are into it, some guys aren't. They can take it, or women can take that.
In 2020 hindsight, if a girl reacts like that, you dodged a bullet by getting rid of her anyway.
She did you a favor because you confronted her and you knew.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think about monogamy right now? Do you think that it works? And do you think that we're setting ourselves up for failure by committing to one person?
No, I mean, it does when it does, but you have to be willing to do it. And the thing is, it's not biologically sound. It's not supported by science. It's not natural. But it doesn't have to be impossible. Just because it's not natural doesn't mean you can't do it. I mean, look around. There's a million things that are unnatural. It's if you're doing it, it has to be because it's like a symbol of love for the girl that you're with. And obviously she has to be interested in that too. If you're not, then you should awesomely have an open relationship. But like, I wouldn't want that because I know that Jenny wouldn't want that. And right. I don't feel like I'm being restricted by her. Right. I like doing it because I'm actually not interested in other people.
Are you finding though a lot of the men that you're meeting and women, I hear this too all the time, that people just aren't committing. There's this thing called like it's a new almost boyfriend, and it's not friends with benefits, but it's more like you are almost boyfriend and girlfriend. It's, you know, you spend a lot of time together. You might meet each other parents. You know, you have sex. You do everything else, but you're not committed. So it's not just sex late at night when you're drunk. It's you're practically committed, but you don't quite say the commitment thing. Because I think that people...
Why?
You know, it's just because I think that there is a fear because there's so many options. There's a bigger, better deal. People are online. Every day they're getting poked, prodded, liked by someone else across the social media board. And they're thinking, there's so many out there. I don't need to commit to just one.
Yeah, I mean, fine. But the problem is it goes both ways. And it just seems hella immature.
It is.
Like
but
that
with
word,
that's,
hella, I picked that up in San Francisco.
I know. Did you, people say hella?
Yeah.
I hate that.
It's from the Bay, I think.
It is from the Bay, and I never picked it up because it makes me crazy. In fact, I won't date a guy who says hella.
Oh, so good thing. Say it. Good thing I'm taken.
And you know what else? It's funny because when I was in Florida, my mom's like, yeah. She was visiting Emily in San Francisco. Your friends were cool. They just used to all go, yeah, yeah. I was like, they do?
They do.
Is that a San Francisco thing?
Yeah, and it drives me crazy because I'm like.
I never recognize that
the
one.
Word is yes, and also if you're going to say yeah, it's not, yeah, don't hold it out for an extra second.
Apparently my friends
it's a
that.
Little pet peeve of mine. Yeah. I don't, it's there's nothing inherently wrong with it, but it is right. Something that
but
I think
hella
is
hella just bugs me. Like,
it's silly.
Like, hella. I'm like, what happens? Okay.
It's hella
silly.
Lame.
Hella lame.
Hella lame. It's hella, hella lame. Lame. Dude, this could be hella, whatever. However, I don't know how you say it, because if a guy says hella, I just automatically put him in this box.
In a
not
surfer
gonna
box?
Sleep with you. Yeah. Okay, so let's answer some questions from my listeners. So thank you, everyone, for emailing me at feedback@sexwithemily.com because I love hearing from you and I read all your emails. And since Jordan is here, who's an expert Art of Charm podcast, extraordinaire, we're going to answer the questions. Hi, Emily. I met this woman online and we hit it off. We went on one date. Afterward, I told her I had a great time. Then she told me she didn't see a spark. I told her that it was only one date. Then she said she didn't think we had enough in common, so I pointed out 5 things we have in common and asked how you can tell that from one date. So my true question to you is, should I continue talking to her and see if there's a spark or just let it go? Thank you, Mike.
Dude. Hella lame. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, that's hella lame.
I'll let you ask me about that, and then I will dive onto it like a grenade.
I'm asking you about it. So to me, I think she gave your answer, Mike. There's nothing else for you to do here but delete her number.
Yeah. I mean, she's not – here's the classic.
You can't convince her. He's trying to convince her. Like, yes. The court a lot. Like, what are you, like, doing, like, a case or something? He's like, these are the 5 reasons.
Exactly. He's such communicating logically when – instead of emotionally. That's funny. We just talked about
I know.
That.
I didn't even know.
So his mistake is, no, here are the reasons why you should like me. But if you phrase it like that, that's insane. Like, no, you should be – if you brought a girl – listen, Mike, I feel your pain. I totally get it. Let's take Mike and introduce him to a girl that is not physically attractive to him and go, hey, Mike, listen, you like violin? She's a violinist. You grew up in Michigan and you love it? She goes to Michigan every summer because her whole family's there. Really? You want 3 kids? She also wants 3 kids. You don't like spending a lot of money on cars? She doesn't. You like vacationing in Rome? She likes vacationing in Rome. Why don't you like her? You should like her. And Mike's like, no, I don't want to. You're doing the same thing to this poor girl. Leave her alone and go find something
else. It has nothing
else.
And you know, it is nice when you have common interests, but most of the time it's about your chemistry that you have with someone. It doesn't matter if you like the same music. I'm always amazed. You're like, oh, we like the same music and whatever. I understand liking to do the same things. Like if you have the same vibe and you like to wake up on Saturdays and go for, I'm thinking San Francisco, go for a run and get coffee and da-da-da. Like, that's great stuff, but just to, like, only base a relationship because we match on all these things...
It doesn't work.
It's not going to work.
The reason...
Because it's intellectual, it's logical, it's not.
Exactly. It's not emotional. The reason you need the physical attraction first is because the commonalities and all that stuff, that's the rationalization that happens afterwards. That's why you buy an electric car because it's cool, and then you go, oh, and also I'm not polluting, and it gets great mileage, and the maintenance costs are low. You didn't buy the car for those reasons. Those are the reasons you justify your purchase of the car.
Exactly.
The commonalities come after the sexual attraction. You're dating somebody that's totally bad for you, and then you go, but she likes electronic dance music, and so do I. And she likes Michigan, and
is
so do
sort
I.
Of a yelling thing? We're from Michigan. You're from Michigan, too.
I'm from Michigan,
and we both
too,
went to University of Michigan.
Right.
I love that. Okay, but
not at
right.
the same time, though. Let's,
I know.
Let's be real.
I know. Really, like, it must have really changed when I got there than from when you were there.
It's floating in the sky now. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I don't know. I haven't been there. Okay, do we have time for one more question? Yeah, good. Let's
good.
Do one more. I'm trying to think which one. Here.
Don't worry about prepping
okay,
before
Emily,
the show.
I'm not.
Just kidding.
Dude, F you. You came to my office and you were talking to me. I was going to prep.
I just ruined your prep time by yammering like I'm doing right now.
You always
demanding
yammer.
Sparkling water.
At least I had water.
I blame Julian.
You came to my home? Hi,
he's
Julian.
So
can
noisy.
We just get the hot? He's so noisy. Julian.
He's
okay.
The perfect man. He's good looking. He's smart. Never says anything. Will listen to you all day.
That's perfect. Really? You don't mind girls who talk a lot?
He didn't even say yes. He just shook his head and
We can't understand. He's German. He's like, whatever, she's talking. No, not that your English isn't wonderful.
It's better than mine.
Okay, but no one can see who I'm talking to offline. We should take a picture of him and post it. Okay,
yeah.
So Emily. Oh, this is funny because this guy, I guess, knew me. We were very good camp friends. I would like to, I don't know who this is though. I would like to keep anonymous. However, I don't know where to get fresh relationship advice. I've been married for 18 years, have 3 kids and seem very happy. I have a stunning wife who gets a lot of attention. Recently, I was cleaning up some drawers around our house and stumbled across a letter exposing a relationship, sexual, with another man while we were dating. This is the first time I discovered any of this. I really don't think I should care as this is so old. She chose me and we have a great life together. I may be a bit insecure, but I can't seem to get over it, though. I am completely faithful husband, have watched other relationships crumble due to cheating partners. So for our relationship health, do I try to ask her about it? I've had a brief concerns a few times about her, but she tends to discount these concerns, commenting that I'm paranoid. I tend to think she's right. This is way too old. I just don't know whether my recent, like a spidey sense, worry is real. Thanks for reviewing this, Big W.
I, on the surface, agree with the fact that that's old and she chose you, da-da-da. But my question that needs to get answered and won't be because this is an email is, why was the letter still there after 18 years?
Well, I can say that I've saved every single letter when people wrote love letter, whatever, card that I've received from a man in my entire life. I have boxes that are
really?
Labeled by the guy.
Why?
Well, I always hate writers. I don't know why. You know, I like going back. I don't know why. I save them.
It's like validation. You go back and you check it out.
No, it's not validation. It's sort of part of my history. It's part of my – I save important – like when I ran marathons, I save the medal. Like I don't save a ton of stuff. I'm not a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
But
you
I
could
think,
be. I can picture you as a hoarder though. I don't think you are, but I feel like you could
why?
Be. I don't know. You just seem like the type. But you have a sex toy hoarder, that's for sure.
I'm a
been
sex toy hoarder, but why do I seem like a hoarder?
I don't know. Just could be one of those weird things.
No,
you
I'm not at all, actually. I don't have enough room to hoard. But the point is that I save. And I know that's weird because I have a lot of friends who are like, I got rid of it. I keep all my journals. I used to keep journals. And I just.
Then that's okay. I guess the context.
It's a documentation of like, oh, in college, this is
it's
where
fair
I was
then.
At. Yeah.
I mean, there's just more info needed here because if you found the letter in a stack of letters that she's kept from everyone,
right, like her
then,
aunt's
then it's
card.
Fine. But if it's like in her underwear drawer and it's the only thing under there and it's next to the vibrator, then you got to ask some more questions.
Right, exactly. I don't think, and unless there's been concerns lately, Big W, like there's been things happening that you've been a little, you know, worried about, because I think it kind of says here, if there's been other things that have been flaring up, maybe I'd bring it up. But if it's when you guys were dating and you've been together 18 years now, if you really can't get this out of your mind, this is something that I'm a proponent of. Like, you've been together 18 years. can you have the conversation about, hey, so has there ever been anyone or anything, or what do you think about, or how's our sex life? Do you want to expand it or do something different? Like, I don't think it's so crazy after 18 years to talk about things. Like, what can't you talk about at that point?
I agree with you. But here's another question. How do you know it's from when you were dating? If there's a date on it and it's old and it looks old, then fine, maybe it is. But if you went, what the hell is this? And she was like, oh, that's 20 years old. And you were like, oh, okay, it must have been from when we were dating.
Well, no one writes letters anymore. Problem. And it probably had like, it, maybe it was in the envelope addressed to her old address. Who knows?
Maybe. But
we don't know. We need more information here. But I would say that, let me just say this. Forget the letter. Forget everything. If this is truly Big W, the only thing that's really setting off alarm is that you found this letter and there aren't any other things, then I would say let it go. But if there's been other things lately, you got to talk about it. Okay, Jordan, so how do we find you? Everywhere.
Art of Charm podcast, wherever podcasts are sold, because they're all free. And you can just go to theartofcharm.com as well.
Okay. Thanks, Jordan, for being here.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you, Anderson. Everyone check out his podcast, Film Vault After
Film
Disaster.
Badge. Film Badge.
Film Badge.
Yeah. Okay. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay. Everyone, this is what I got to tell you about. The Fleshlight. It is the number one sex toy for men. Have you used it, Jordan?
No,
I should give you one.
Okay,
you're off. Anyway, so it's probably the only one that you want. The Fleshlight is amazing. Guys, you got your hands. Women, we've got so many toys to choose from. What if you could mix up your masturbation? What if you could have sex with something that looks and feels like the real deal? And actually, the Fleshlight simulates the sensations of sex. It's a male masturbation sleeve, so you have other options to your hand. Don't you want other options? Use a lube. Feels amazing. At least that's what all the guys tell me that use it. They're like, oh my God, rock my world, because it's a little different. You can also get one that looks like a porn star. You like porn? Maybe her vagina has been molded into a Fleshlight. You never know. You got to check it out. There's also the stamina training unit. A lot of men, they just don't last as long as they want to in bed. Helps to become a better lover. And I've heard a lot of great things about the stamina training unit. So it's body safe materials, clean, durable, easy to use. And, you know, what's a good Fleshlight experience without some lube? Fleshlight has award-winning lube, and they love my listeners so much they are going to give you a bottle of the award-winning lube. So go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, use code Emily, and you get a bottle of lube and a Fleshlight, and you're welcome. It'll change your life. Thanks, everyone, for listening.